Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, just a great delight and privilege to be in the studio to answer your questions live on the eve before New Year's Eve. You can call in your questions today, as always, by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Contact information, you can find us on the web at equip.org, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by. You can call them at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Just a couple of points of information and then right to our callers. The first is, I am hoping and praying that many of you who have not read through the Bible in a year will make a New Year's resolution today or tomorrow, and beginning with the new year, start reading through the Bible. In fact, I've developed a legacy reading plan. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's an innovative approach to reading the 66 love letters, one book at a time, and again for the rest of your life. The format is specifically formulated to make your time in God's Word the very best it can be. And this plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. The overarching objective is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. And I've taken the reading calendar, segmented into seasons, and the seasons into months, so at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus will be on the Pentateuch and poetry. In spring, the historical books. In summer, the prophets. And during the fall, the New Testament. And then what I've done is divided each season further into months. So January, your goal is going to be read through Genesis and through Exodus. And then, for example, in December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are going to be times when you will naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and other times when you'll read one or two. But more importantly, you'll read through the Bible just as you read through other literature, and you will start to get the sense of individual writers, which is really cool. For example, this is an example of John. What's cool about John is he wrote 5 books, and he uses particular items that you will not find anywhere else. So his personality, his proclivities are clearly evident in his writing. For example, John alone identifies Jesus as the Word or the Logos. And likewise, he alone identifies Jesus as the true witness. And it is John who is most exploiting the Mosaic requirement of the two witnesses. So his fingerprints, in other words, are all over his writings. So when you read through those writings in one piece, you get a sense of his particular style as he is inspired by the Spirit of God. Another thing I want to do, and then we'll go right to our callers, is share a testimony. What's neat about this is I met a man last December at a speaking engagement near Charlotte. And during the last year, I have been witnessing to him, answering his questions, and it has been a long and very rewarding process that culminated in a letter that I received. I won't identify the person, but he says, "Hello, my brother. I have so many things in my mind. I have millions of questions. I've listened to hundreds of testimonies about Jesus. I've rejected him millions of times out of anger and fear. But now I have so much love for the world. I have been lost, but now I'm saved. I have been lost enough in my life, but now I am guiding others who want to know him. I'm saved. He rescued me because he loved me. I'm crying. I can't hold back the tears. The God of the universe has spoken to me and touched me so deep. I love you, my brother. I'm looking forward to meeting you again next year and giving you a warm hug soon. This was touching because this was a testimony from a man who grew up as a Muslim and now has committed his life to Jesus Christ and given a testimony to that effect. And this is what it's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Ryan, Canadian listener, Edmonton, Alberta, CJCA. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. Awesome to talk to you. I had a question, something that's kind of bugged me for a while now. About 10 years ago, I became a Christian. I'd say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was either reading some article or some book or some, maybe it was a movie or something. It had just one of the concepts of it was a person, I guess, bargaining or making a deal or selling their soul to the devil. And it just, I would say it probably, maybe it kind of bugged me or got to me. And then I kind of had that thought probably a few days later, would I possibly do that? And then suddenly something happened, like the phone rang, which was kind of what I was sort of thinking of in my head. And it sort of made me freeze, like, oh my goodness, did I just do that? Like, I think it's, maybe a pop culture phenomenon myth type thing, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. Didn't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, I do, actually, and what you're referring to, I've actually dealt with in my book, The Prayer of Jesus. It is a famous fictional character named Jabez Stone, who hit the big time in the Academy Award-winning movie The Devil and Daniel Webster. But yeah, it's fictional. As long as you are alive, you can turn to the grace and goodness of God. So God will never turn you away. He has not placed obstacles in our path. There are not gotchas in the Christian faith. If you want to be a participant in the kingdom, he will in no wise turn you away. And so the idea that this could in reality appear as a truth for any person simply is not there. You can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today and forever. And there are coincidences in life, but we don't want to look at those coincidences as though the devil in some way controls events on earth. What we learn about spiritual warfare in the Bible is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The point being that the emphasis in spiritual warfare is always on God's power to protect as opposed to Satan's power to pillage.
Yeah, I think what was just, hanging me up was I think I was maybe attributing far too much power to the devil, not seeing God's sovereignty, and I look back to the book of Job, and I don't know, for me, like I said, it was one of those things I just wanted to hear from you. I don't see any examples, or I don't know of any that of a a Christian being possessed or anything like that.
Yeah, in fact, it's one of the points I make in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you are a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that temple will never be shared with a demon. That does not mean that we should not, as those indwelt by the Spirit, pray continually for the infilling of the Spirit, but we can be assured that as I said earlier, in the words of Scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas in Texas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Thomas. Whoops, Thomas just left. Or Erica.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I was looking at Thomas, and I was thinking about Erica, so here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, great. I have a question about Moses in Exodus. You know, he gets his directions from God, and he's about to go off and follow God's directions. And then on his way to talk with the Pharaoh, God, it says he's going to kill him. And I can't understand why that is, especially after he's followed his directions.
Yeah, and this is a great example of wanting to know the context and who we're talking about when we're talking about Moses. We're not talking about an ordinary man, nor are we talking about a normative experience. Moses is the great lawgiver, and he is now in disobedience to the law of circumcision. He is more willing to please, well, his Midian wife than he is the will of the Lord, and therefore he hadn't circumcised his own son. And it seems obvious from the context that Zipporah, his wife, was repulsed by the rite of circumcision, but yet, calling herself a bridegroom of blood, she is in disgust talking to Moses and complying with circumcision only to save his life because she recognizes that he is in violation to the purposes and the plan of God, a plan that will affect millions and millions of people through generations and generations of time. So again, it's a non-normative experience about a man who is called with a commission and now is in violation of that commission. And God's purposes with Moses are to bring him back to repentance and bring him back to a state in which he can, in truth, lead the people of God as a faithful, obedient servant of God.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have one more question about Genesis, and I was trying to figure out who, Adam and Eve had children, but how did they procreate? Who did they mate with? Did they mate with their brothers and sisters, or how did that work?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, Adam and Eve had children. They didn't just have two children. What the Bible does is it focuses on Cain and Abel, but not to the exclusion of other children, which is to say the import or the context lets us know that there has to be many other children for the reason alone that God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the whole earth. So you can imagine if you're living about 1,000 years, how many children you can have if you're in obedience to the command of God to be fruitful and multiply. So Cain and Abel are particular offspring of Adam and Eve that are highlighted in the biblical text, but they are not the only children, and they would have mated, as you note in the prologue to the question, with a sibling or a niece. And what has to be remembered is genetic imperfections accumulated gradually over time. And so there was no prohibition against what we today call incest in the earlier stages of human civilization. The Levitical law against incestuous relationships at the time of Moses is in vogue, but not at the time of Adam and Eve.
Okay. All right. Well, I really appreciate you sharing with me. Quite honestly, I could ask you about 20 or 30 more questions, but I want to be courteous to the people who are behind me. Thank you so much.
Well, bless you, Erica. And I've answered many of these questions in two books, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, as well as the Creation Answer Book, both books available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A reminder that when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I'd be pleased to send you a copy of any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join the CRI support team or the Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org. It's one and the same. Simply go to equip.org/donate. And when you join, it makes such a difference. We're praying that many people will be led by the Spirit to do that even before the end of the year, and that people will be generous in their giving before the end of the year, because quite frankly, I cannot do what I do without you. That's I'm grateful for those who the Lord leads to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. Why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
equip.org.
Apologetics, the defense of the faith, is a handmaiden of evangelism and a vital partner of discipleship. With it, the Christian can engage and graciously disarm the generally naive and caricatured objections of skeptics. Without it, one will be unable to withstand the rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. To enable the Christian Research Institute to continue producing quality apologetics resources, accessible worldwide, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our telephone callers. Next up is Kelsey, listening in Virginia on Bot Radio. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. I had a question for you from Matthew 5:32, where if a man divorces his wife, she becomes an adulterer. I'm curious about Jesus' word choice here, where if he divorces her and she may not have actually cheated on him, is it, you know, what is he saying there? Or is it a cultural assumption that she might have cheated on him because that would be the only reason you'd get a divorce?
Well, it is a hypothetical. He's not talking about an actual person, but the principle is very much in play. So Jesus says if a man divorces his wife for other reason than she's engaged in sexual immorality and was sexually unfaithful to him, and if he marries another, he commits adultery because he is still married to his first and faithful wife in the eyes of God and in the eyes of society, for that matter. And if he puts a sexually faithful wife away and she then marries another man, he has forced her into an illicit marriage, and this, too, is therefore a form of idolatry. What's cool is that very question we deal with in a lot of detail in an article written by Dr. Michael Ross in the Christian Research Journal. It's titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, and it, I believe, is online at equip.org.
Okay, cool. I'll have to look at that.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, and have a great evening.
Thank you, Kelsey. Back to the phone lines. Randy in Alabama, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just got a quick question. I was talking with a friend, and he said that, for instance, I'm going to use the example of a gentleman fixing to be executed. He's been a godless atheist his whole life. Right before he's executed, he asked for forgiveness. Is he forgiven? Well, even if, you know, I hear about, you know, laying up treasures in heaven, so he's done none of that his whole life. How does that work?
Yeah, a good question. And certainly the precedent for a deathbed conversion is found on the cross, where Jesus is between two criminals. They're both being crucified with him, and one repents. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So Jesus assures him of salvation. Now, the point that you bring out, however, in your question is so important for people to grasp. And that is, what we do now counts for all eternity. And therefore, every day is precious. So the idea that, well, you know, I'll wait to the last minute and get an insurance policy, first of all, if that's the motive, then it's not real to begin with. But secondly, we want to be participants in the kingdom because we are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So the Bible throughout talks about degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So if you look at it in the inverse and think about a person that's going to hell, not every person in hell is judged in exactly the same way, because God, a righteous judge, takes into consideration every converging factor of their lives and does that as someone who knows with complete precision, unlike a court in modern day history where a judge is making a judgment. He does not have every single converging factor. He can't because he's not omniscient. But when he does take in as many converging factors as he can, we call him a righteous judge. And God is in the same way, judging us with righteousness. So this is then first a separation of sheep and goats in eternity, and secondly, a judgment for the sheep and a judgment for the goats. And this has to do with reward and punishment.
All right, very good. I couldn't wrap my head around it, and I figure I know who to ask.
Well, appreciate you calling.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Have a good evening.
And you as well. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Andre. He's another Canadian listener listening in Vancouver, K-A-R-I. Hi, Andre.
Hey, how's it going? I just got a question, right?
Yeah.
About spiritual warfare and, like what the meaning is and how that, how, like, how we can fight against the devil's schemes.
Sure. Well, the first thing we have to realize is that our enemy, as delineated in Scripture, is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's not even our principal prerogative or priority to figure out who's tempting us, the world, the flesh, or the devil. What we're told to do is to wage a spiritual battle with spiritual armor. And we do that by putting on the full armor of God, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I wrote a book about that, and I call it The Covering because this is precisely what it is. It's the armor of the believer. And what the end result of putting on the armor is that we are invincible in spiritual warfare. But if we do not put on the full armor of God as we're commanded to do, then we're guaranteed casualties because there's a real enemy. The world is real. The flesh is real. The devil is real. In fact, the devil, as it were, sits on our shoulder, whispers into our ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it most certainly can penetrate the ear of the mind, and therefore we have to be vigilant so that we can stand, and after we have done everything as the Bible says, stand.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. And Happy New Year. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Corey. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Hank. I love the show. Listened to a long time, first-time call. Hey, I just was curious. You know, 2 Samuel 24, where God punished David, you know, for basically counting the army, you know, where he asked Joab, his commander, to go. I don't understand. I just wanted your opinion on that. It just seemed a little harsh. I think any prudent commander would want to know, you know, the size of his arm. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I do. And you know, there are two great sins that David committed, and you might make the argument that the one you just note is the graver of the sins. One of the sins, of course, that I'm referring to is the adultery that everybody is familiar with Bathsheba. He not only takes another man's wife, but he has the man killed on the battlefront. So this is a grave sin. But perhaps an even greater sin in the eyes of God is someone who is the quintessential king of Israel, committed to the power and providence of God. And yet, instead of trusting God, he trusts in the arm of flesh. He trusts in horses and military weapons. And what the Bible tells us in this regard is there's no wisdom, there's no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So what God is doing is looking at the deeper intent of David's heart. The census is an indication of his lack of trust in the very God that he is called to represent to the people and whose throne at a future time would be occupied by Jesus Christ himself, the heir to David's throne. and the one who fulfills all the types and shadows that come before it. And this is why it is a grave sin for this man to not trust the very one who has called him as the least of Jesse's sons for a commission of unparalleled proportions.
Right, I see. That's what I was figuring, you know, his lack of faith. It just was so harsh, you know. But, you know, David.
There's a sense in which, you know, I've said this many times on the show. What happens, Corey, is that to whom much is given, much is required. And so when I walk into the studio and do the show myself, I'm constantly aware that the Bible says, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. So God looks at the platform, the gifts, the opportunities that he gives to each one of us, and he holds us accountable for it. And David's gift and opportunity was surpassingly great.
Right, I see. And really quick, do you think, I've always wondered this, when Saul consulted the medium to bring up Samuel, do you think that that was really Samuel? I know it sounds like a ridiculous question, but I mean, the dead don't know anything.
Well, I don't think it's a ridiculous question at all.
I didn't think, anyway, I'll let you.
Yeah, I mean, the basic answer to that question is yes. This was Samuel. But Samuel was not brought up by the Witch of Endor. In fact, she is absolutely baffled when she sees what's unfolding. So Samuel is raised by the power and providence of God. And she is, in fact, someone who has done all her life what she's done by smoke and mirrors. She's done it by sleight of hand and sleight of mind. And so now she's been caught doing the very thing that enchanters are not allowed to do, because we are not to call upon the dead, but we are to call upon the Lord our God. So Saul has gone to the wrong medium, and the medium is using the wrong process, and both are then judged for their sin. But this is an actual raising of Samuel. So what happens is Samuel continues to exist even though he dies, as all of us will after death. But God gives him a temporary appearance for his own sovereign purposes. We call this non-normative. I talked about this in an earlier call today, but this is a non-normative experience, a sovereign imposition of God on the natural order of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's interesting. Anyway, great show. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks. And people listening in will hear that I am blessed by the compliments that are given over and over again. And I humbly recognize that it is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. But more significantly, perhaps even than that, that God has allowed me a platform because of people like you that stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I've said it before, and I'll say it many times again. I cannot do what I do without you. We depend on you to stand with us prayerfully. Prayer is firing the winning shot in, and financially as you are able, but only as you're able. I don't want you to give because you feel like there's a give to get thing. If you do this, God's going to do that. No, you give because you love the Lord, and then leave the results to him. And we will know in eternity that God has used your faithfulness, your stewardship to reach people around the globe that you'll probably only know from the perspective of eternity. So thanks for your faithfulness, thanks for your support, and thanks for allowing me to do what I'm able to do on the show because of you. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
In our day, biblical literacy has plummeted to dangerous levels, such that many Christians embrace wildly distorted notions of the Scriptures, from bizarre end-time predictions centering on four blood moons to health and wealth theologies. The Christian Research Institute is combating biblical illiteracy with resources accessible around the globe. To help CRI's efforts in equipping Christians to become biblically literate, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI,
or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, Supreme Being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Hard to believe that we only have one day before the end of the year. Tomorrow, New Year's Eve, and then a brand new year. 2015 has gone so quickly. But during the year, much has been accomplished for the kingdom, and for that we give God the glory. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas in Texas on Bot Radio. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Hank. I just want to say thank you for your knowledge of the Bible. And I had a question about Exodus chapter 32, verse 12 and 14. At the end of verse 12, Moses asked God to repent of his evil thoughts towards his children. And in verse 14, it says the Lord actually repented against his his thoughts of evil against his children. And this is coming from the King James Version of the Bible. I was hoping you could explain it a little bit to me.
Yeah, a couple of things that that should be noted, and then I'll give you sort of a nugget in terms of understanding the issue. The idea of repentance with respect to God shouldn't be understood as entailing moral guilt. Obviously, God cannot sin, just like God cannot make a squared circle. God can do anything that is logically possible, but he cannot do that which is illogical, because those things simply don't exist in real time, in real space. So the other thing that should be understood is the meaning of the word repent has changed over time. And therefore, in the place of the word repent, most new translations of the Bible substitute the word grieve or regret. And the idea is that as a human father grieves over rebellion on the part of children, so our heavenly Father grieves over rebellion on the part of his creation. But what you point out is sort of an antinomy, a tension that we have in the biblical text that can only be explained on the basis of what's called an anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism meaning speaking in a way that human beings like you and I can relate to. So it gives us an ability to apprehend the nature of God. So there are many examples like the one that you express, which are examples of this tension, this antinomy. For example, with respect to the faithfulness of Saul, God says, "It repenteth me that I have set Saul up to be king." Or if you were reading a modern translation, it would say, "It grieves me that I have set up Saul to be king." And yet in the very same context, the text tells us that the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So we have this antinomy given to us in the form of an anthropomorphism, God speaking in a way that human beings, again, can apprehend what is going on.
Thank you so much, Hank. I'm still learning. You've helped me grow so much. I appreciate that.
You got it, and I'm thinking about an entry that I have in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on that very question, the book available as always through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. By the way, when I mention my books, 100% of the proceeds go to the ministry. When you buy a book through the Christian Research Institute or give a gift for a book through the Christian Research Institute, all of the proceeds, 100%, go to this ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Lori. She's listening in Calgary, Alberta, CJCA. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just have a question, but I'll just make a comment. I really appreciate your ministry and the fact that you speak the truth, and because truth and life do matter. Mm. Without the truth, you don't have life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, just keep please speaking the truth, and that's why I support you.
Thank you. Bless you.
I just have a question. Like, I was reading by Nabil Qureshi, Do Muslims and Christians Worship the Same God? And he explains it so clearly, the difference. Like, I won't articulate. I know you can do that, but it's sort of like, we came out, the Christians came out of what the Jews believed. You know, we grew from that. And the Muslims, like, they believe a lot of stuff in, like, Muhammad, a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, but then there was a lot of stuff added on that has nothing to do with the God that we worship. And so I'm going to hang up. And I just want to know if he's a reliable source, because, like, he was easy to understand. And, I came up on him by accident. And I think if you say he's reliable, everybody should read that. And then they could be a good apologist and go out and explain to people, you know, be a good witness.
Well, he is reliable. He was raised as a Muslim, and he is an outstanding Christian apologist. Appreciate his work very much. He has a powerful and very credible testimony of conversion. I understand he was a medical doctor who has committed himself full-time to reaching Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that has come at a great cost to him, I'm sure. I don't know all the details on a personal level because I haven't met him. But I will tell you that what I know about his conversion is that it means a loss of family, because that's what you give up in Islam. And I think it's true in his case. He's been alienated from his family because he has committed himself to the family of God. He was brought to faith largely through interaction with an author who's written for the Christian Research Journal, David Wood. And in the journal, you'll find some of the excellent articles that he put together, like Islam, trying to understand and grapple with the idea of whether this really is a religion of peace or not. Also, another book by Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim Encounters Christianity. So yes, he has... he has done some excellent work, and I've just received glowing reports from our research department about him.
Okay, well, I don't want to hold you up because you're busy. I have a lot of callers. I just quickly said, say a Muslim hit my car recently. We paid for the accident, and we're building a bridge. He contacts us, and we're going to have him at our home shortly.
That's glorious. That's glorious.
Well, what else matters?
That's just glorious. Thank you so much for sharing that.
No, thank you for listening. Thank you. God bless you.
And you, I'm moved. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Zach in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Zach.
Man, how's it going? Finally made it through.
I'm glad you did.
Okay. I'm driving through Amish country here, so I might lose you. I hope not. Here's my question. A lot of folks say that the Bible contradicts itself, which, I mean, I disagree with, obviously, being a student of the Word and being a Christian. And, like, but I have a particular illness, a form of arthritis, and I pray daily for healing. And the Bible says, I don't know what verse, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in good health, just as you're so prospered, right? But then at the same time, you have Paul. I won't go to Job because that's Old Testament. But Paul had the thorn in his side, which no one seems to know what that was. But that was a messenger of Satan. God didn't send it. And we know that God doesn't send sickness, to my knowledge. It's not of God. But I also hear some preachers say that God's teaching you a lesson through sickness. I hear the other side saying no, which what you may call prosperity preaching. They say no, the finished works of the cross, you're already healed and you just get up every day and claim it. So is that a contradiction?
Well, no, it's not a contradiction. And I think we have to realize that we live in a fallen world. We all get sick. Eventually, we all die. The death rate is one per person, as has been well said, and every one of us is going to make it. So there's no guarantee whatsoever that we're not going to get sick in this world. There's a guarantee that we will get sick in this world. The universe itself is groaning in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And when there's a salutation in Scripture, we do havoc to the biblical text when we take that salutation and render it a guarantee for prosperity at all times in all places so that we're guaranteed not to be sick, we're guaranteed ultimate health and wealth. It's simply not what the Bible says at all. In fact, it is true that oftentimes when we go through sickness and suffering, God is using the very pain as a megaphone to a deaf world. So again, in this world, we're going to have trouble. Take heart, Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We see Paul, he does have a thorn in his flesh, but this is a Hebrew idiom for the continual persecutions that he faces. And Paul uses that idiom in much the same way as you see it in the Old Testament with the Canaanites, who are seen as a thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. They remain in the land, and they are a constant reminder of Israel's dependence upon God, in the same way that the thorn in the flesh, with respect to the Apostle Paul, is a constant remembrance for him. That God is his source, that God is the resource for his life. But we are, bottom line, not guaranteed health and wealth. I wrote a book on this very subject. It's called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. So if you want the details of what the Bible really teaches in this regard, that would be the book to get.
Right on. Well, I appreciate that. And glad I got through... All right, have a good one.
You too, and I'm glad you got through as well. I want to be very, very clear about the whole issue of sickness and suffering, because the context of the Bible is so important to grasp. The next couple of days on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm going to be talking about that very thing, being able to mine the Bible for all it's worth. Because if you do not mine the Bible for all it's worth, you are left with nothing but a tattered, torn document, devoid of all meaning. And what people are doing, and unfortunately even in pulpits around the country, is taking the precious words of Scripture and rendering them in a fashion that distorts the meaning embedded by the Holy Spirit. Again, for the next couple of days, we'll be talking about mining the Bible for all its wealth, the art and science of biblical interpretation. On tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to wish you a very happy new year, but also do that not in a pagan sense, but do that in a sense in which you recognize that every moment that we have is precious, must be used for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, my thanks for those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word,
In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who He is. He gives us Himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.